Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 27th of April, recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and the big item is the swine flu outbreak. And I'm just reading off the Bloomberg screen here today. Their latest statement is that the outbreak doubles to 40 people in the U.S. I don't know if there are any fatalities among that, but we'll certainly hear in the news. And the Mexican death toll has climbed to 149. Earlier in the day, Bloomberg had pointed out that there was also evidence of swine flu among people in Canada and also New Zealand, even as a result of some students, I believe, returning from Mexico. So this has certainly unnerved the markets here today, and we saw the evidence at a time when many of them were already vulnerable in terms of somewhat overstretched rallies. So the Asian stock markets were mostly lower, as were the European stock markets were mixed. A number to the downside. Wall Street closing with modest losses, as did the South American stock markets in Canada. The U.S. dollar firmed, as it so often does when stock markets are easier, and the yen was even stronger, again, as is so often the case when these markets take fright. It's just sort of a knee-jerk reaction, isn't it? And precious metals started out the day okay, at least gold and silver did, but they gave up those gains and moved to the minus side. So gold bullion's at 906, spot silver looks like it's at 1285 here right now. And commodities down generally. The grain and bean complex was hit, particularly soybeans, which has had a good run recently. Okay, industrial metals also down on the day. So what's going on here overall? Well, first, starting with the swine flu, obviously I'm certainly no authority on that. I only know what most of us know and what we see in the news. But I've seen, as you have seen, these epidemics in the past. SARS was one of the bigger ones, and it certainly can cast a long shadow over markets while it is still spreading. And at this stage, there's no way, or I don't think there's anyone who knows the extent of, or what will be the extent to which this swine flu problem spreads, or the damage that it does inflict, but it will, or it can only be bearish for most asset classes while it is an escalating story, and I emphasize escalating. Once the rate, for instance, with which it's spreading appears to be slowing, we are almost certainly beyond the worst, and when it stops spreading, then it's all but over. In terms of influence. Meanwhile, stock markets remain susceptible to a further reaction and consolidation, and some of them haven't even commenced those reactions and consolidations, but many of the leaders have. China has, Taiwan, which was the leader among leaders in Asia, that you may recall had its downside key day reversal on the 17th of April. China had its downside key day reversal on the 22nd of April. A number of other stock market indices have shown similar downward dynamics, but they remain in the minority still. But the leaders, again, we tend to focus on them. As I say, they tend to lead in both directions. And I've illustrated that a little bit today in my comment. Now, again, a lot of these markets were overstretched and due for these reaction and consolidations. So I'd be cautious in here in the short term. We've always spoken of a long convalescence ever since the selling climax back in October and November, which, as you know, we maintained was the beginning of the end for the overall bear market. And the beginning of the end for the bear market is the beginning of the next bull market, although bull markets very often begin slowly, so you don't see much bull, you see mostly ranging. And then finally, you get the uptrends. This one's been led, as you've also seen, by the Asian emerging markets, also the South American resources markets, and by tech. Those are very much to the fore. European stock markets and Wall Street, however, are very much the laggards. So the rally that we've seen in most of the laggards looks a bit like an inverse mirror image of the sell-off that had occurred really from January into the March lows. Or was it from February into the March lows? I think I'll take from that February rally high into the March lows. Now, again, I would point out again that the action in here right now is not consistent with what we have seen when bear market rallies have petered out. I think it's important to emphasize this because a lot of people out there feel that this is no more than a bear market rally. Well, the bear market, once the bear market rallies ended, as you may recall and can review on the charts, the selling pressure was very persistent. This time around, not all of the rallies have ended, and the selling pressure that we've seen has not been that persistent. It's been more of a rangy type of environment. Well, perhaps something like swine flu can create more fear and cause some sharper reactions overall, but I don't see anything at this stage in the technical action to really expect, assuming that that is a modest crisis rather than a major crisis, swine flu that is. I see no reason to expect more than a reaction and consolidation, but I'm not keen to be buying in here today, and I've actually got a small short position open to hedge my accounts. All right, looking at the long-dated government bonds. To the extent that stock markets pull back, we could easily see some further rallies in the long-dated government bonds. They were all a little bit firmer here today. My feeling is that the technical rallies create short-selling opportunities in the sector, but it is tricky because we have the promise or threat of government buying, and indeed, respective governments from the UK to Brussels to Washington do step in and intervene and buy this long-dated debt to keep yields low. So the patterns overall are quite rangy, and that may remain the case for a while longer. But there's little doubt in my mind that the next big move on long-dated government bond prices will be downwards, in other words, upwards for yields. Although that the big portion of the move, I think, is unlikely to occur until people get the whiff of inflation. And as you know, in recent months, they've been receiving the whiff of, or sensing the whiff of deflation. But that will change in time, given all the money printing that has taken place and all the debt that's piled up. I don't think anybody expects those debts to be paid off in yesterday's or today's money. terms of currencies, the dollar is still range bound. Frankly, I would quite welcome a little bit further dollar rally, and I'd quite welcome a little bit further rally in the yen because I have shorted those in the past, recent past, and would happily do so again. But we did see the Antipodean currencies, which are among my favorites, not on a day-to-day basis, but they certainly were last month and at the beginning of this month, and they have saw very, very good gains. For them to pull back and consolidate and extend their base formations is hardly surprising. So further rallies by the yen and the dollar, I think, would set those two currencies up for further shorting opportunities. But I wouldn't be aggressive in here. I would wait for it. Precious metals. From a bull standpoint, I'd like to see gold remain above the $900 level. And overall, the pattern is ranging. As you know, I was impressed to see what happened last week when, if you look at gold in various different currencies, and I reviewed them all over the weekend, and also silver, that while they had some quite significant pullbacks, often from quite overextended levels which were reached in March. So gold and silver fell against all currencies following their March peaks, and some of those declines were quite persistent, following, in some instances, accelerated advances. But last week, both gold and silver appreciated against all currencies. Now, they will have given a little bit of that up here today, but not all of it. And if gold and silver are able to remain above their recent lows against all currencies, that would suggest to me that the outlook for the medium term, if not necessarily the short term, is definitely improving. We will see, but keep an eye on those charts. Those are extremely interesting, in my view. Crude oil, a little bit easier here, but still hovering around the $50 level. And I think that's about it. So, all the very best to all of you.